we'll talk about the parsha a little bit. There's a very relevant. I was looking at my old parsha drushas from previous years, and in Tafshin Ayin Gimel, I said over in shul something, a piece that I saw in Rabbi Jonathan Sachs's one of Rabbi Jonathan Sachs's books, and it's, you know, it's extremely relevant. You know, sometimes we look to the parsha to find a meaningful message for the times that we're living in, but rarely are the themes so clear as they are right now. Yitzchak is the first Jew to experience anti-Semitism. He becomes the first Jew to be told, "We don't want you here. Get out." Right? Yitzchak is the first Jew to be told, go back to, and fill in the blank, wherever people think Jews come from, right? He was the first Jew to be told that. He is told by the Plishtim in Gerar, or maybe, as one might want to translate that into English, the Palestinians in Gaza, get out. We do not want you. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs derives three critical messages from the story of Yitzchak and the wells that he digs. One message is about the cause of anti-Semitism. Second message is about the nature of the anti-Semite and the nature of someone who fills himself with hate in general. And third is about how one should react to such hatred. So let's take one at a time. The roots of anti-Semitism, you know, there was a book written by a woman named Amy Chua, who later became famous for a different book that she wrote. She became famous for a book called Tiger Mom, which was all the rage for a while. It was a big discussion about, you know, her style of parenting, you know, where if a child gets a 98 on an exam, you ground them for 2 weeks, one for each point that they didn't get, you know, that kind of expectation in parenting. So she wrote another book before she wrote Tiger Mom, called World on Fire, which focused partially on the roots of ethnic hatred. And she points out that ethnic hatred, or speaking specifically to us, anti-Semitism happens when a conspicuously successful minority catches the attention of others. That's Yitzchak. He fit the bill. He was conspicuous, an outsider among the Plishtim. He was very successful, wealthier, and not just wealthier, but more capable of being productive than all of the rest of them, than everybody around him. And he was a minority. He was a lone Jew among all of these Plishtim. So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos that the name Sinai is used to describe the mountain upon which we got the Torah, even though it's really Har Chorev, it's not Har Sinai. We call it Sinai Mishum Shemisham Yorda Sina Liolam, that's where Sina came to the world, which is really highlighting the same point. The Rambam elaborates on this in great detail, that why is it that Sinas Yisrael came from Har Sinai? It came from Har Sinai because what we received at Har Sinai was an elevated form of living. What we received at Har Sinai was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a public proclamation that he chose us, and he's giving us this book, this way of life that's going to elevate us above everybody else, to give us a level of spiritual success that nobody else can really have. And Misham Yardas in Eliolam, that gives us a conspicuous minority. Success is going to always be hated by others. You know, people talk about the rise in anti-Semitism. Someone pointed out, probably not a rise in anti-Semitism, probably a rise in comfort level in expressing the anti-Semitism. So all the anti-Semites can be more open about it in a culture that's accepting of anti-Semitism, like your typical secular college campus nowadays, where it's just totally acceptable to be completely anti-Semitic. But it's Misham Yardas in Eliolam. It should give us a little bit of comfort that if that's the root of anti-Semitism, it's really our success and our greatness that brings about the anti-Semitism. Second point that Rabbi Sachs made is that more than the anti-Semitism hurts the Jew, it hurts the Jew hater. More, and in general, that's true of hatred in general. More than it hurts the hated, it hurts the hater. The people who hate become self-destructive. The Plishtim, for example, didn't ask Yitzchak. They didn't say, "Wow, you managed to find water here in Gaza. You were able to discover a way to desalinate water, a way to make this land productive. Teach us how. We want to be able to benefit from such." That's not what they did. They didn't ask to share his knowledge with them. They didn't ask him to teach how he discovered a source of water that they, who lived in Gaza, were unable to find. Instead, they closed up all the wells. You never close up a well unless you're just trying to make a point. and it's shooting yourself in the foot. Why? Why would you close up a well? Yitzchak was going to leave Gerar one day, and the Plishtim would have enjoyed the benefit of those wells. But instead, they destroyed it. More than hate destroys the hated, it destroys the hater. After we withdrew from Gaza, just the infrastructure that was torn down, everything that they just undid was just it was self-destructive. Long before there were people who were so obviously and literally self-destructive in the form of, let's say, a suicide bomber, which is literally self-destructive, and people who shoot rockets that land in their own territory half the time, and shoot from schools and hospitals, which are obviously going to invite retaliation. There were people whose hate was self-destructive long before that as well. Our enemies and their attempt to destroy us always end up destroying themselves. You know, there was that the rally in Washington this week. So there was a guy that spoke. It was a reverend or a pastor or something. John Hagee, I think, was his name. First of all, I mean, what a speaker's voice. My wife kept on saying, if you spoke like that, I'd actually pay attention. You know, the energy and the passion. But he was talking about how from Haman to Hitler, they all ended up on the dustbin of human history. Meaning that's what happens to the anti-Semite. Ultimately, they destroy themselves. And it's in line with the concept of Asina Mekalkelas Asashura. People become irrational when they hate. That's why the most primal of human instincts, which is the instinct of self preservation of just maintaining life, falls by the wayside when the Plishtim give vent to their hatred. That's why the Hamas says bepe mele that they value death, meaning hatred fills a person it makes a person go against the most fundamental instinct that a person has, which is to live. And then finally, Rabbi Sachs points out, and most importantly for us, what is the proper reaction to anti-Semitism? Yitzchak is the first Jewish child. You know, it's not always easy to carry on a mission that you didn't conceive of yourself. This was Avram's mission. Obviously you can be passionate about your own mission. Yitzchak inherited this mission, and it takes a lot of persistence to inherit a mission and carry it forward. Yitzchak re-dug the wells that Avram had dug when they were closed up. He just dug again. He has a job to do. And he went about his business in accomplishing that job, meaning he was not deterred from his mission by the anti-Semites. To the contrary, he leaned in further to his mission. His mission was to carry forward the work of his father, and our mission is to carry forward the work of our forefathers, the work of being a Jew, of living as a Jew, of connecting to the Jewish people. And that is how we defeat anti-Semitism. That is how we survive through all of it. And I would just suggest that there are three ways that we lean into being part of Klal Yisrael and carrying forward the mission of Am Yisrael. The first is in the midos of Am Yisrael. Chazal tell us, Am Yisrael are rachmanim b'shanim v'gomlei chasadim. That we have rachmanos, we are humble and sanua, and we are gomlei chasadim, we do chesed. The amount of chesed we've seen in Am Yisrael since this war has broken out is incredible. It's an incredible statement that we hold dear, those midos of Am Yisrael. Rachmanim, by the way, means something else than gomlei chasadim. Rachmanim doesn't mean that you're actually doing chesed, it means that you actually feel. They actually feel. Someone shared with me a recording where a particular Rosh Yeshiva told people, "Nah, don't have kids draw pictures for Chayalim. It doesn't accomplish anything." Doesn't accomplish anything. Even if it didn't give the Chayalim Chizik, which anyone who's ever spoken to a Chayal knows that it gives them tremendously. Not draw pictures, write letters to Chayalim. He's saying, "No, then why should they write letters to Chayalim? It's a waste of time." Even if you've never actually spoken to Chayal, so you don't know how much chizuk it gives them, what it does for a child to feel that he's connecting to someone who's putting his life on the line for Am Yisrael, to feel that, like, I'm part of this, that we're rachmanim. We're supposed to feel. We're supposed to feel things. So to lean into the midos of Am Yisrael. Second, of course, is to lean into the mitzvos and the beliefs of Am Yisrael. You know, there was a shaila that I discussed in some of the yeshivas when I was in Eretz Yisrael last week, that there was a guy on a college campus wearing a baseball cap, Jewish guy, and one of these Palestinian mobs was walking by, and someone grabbed him by the shirt and said, "Are you a Jew?" And his shaila was, is he allowed to say no? because there's halach mefresh in Shulchan Aruch and Yardei Asim Kuf and Zayin that you're not allowed to say no, even to save your own life, if someone asks if you're a Jew. So Rav Asher Weiss paskin, you're allowed to say no. Aye, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not. In Shulchan Aruch, it means if someone asks, do you believe like a Jew? Do you hold of the God of Israel? That's not what these people are asking. They're asking if you're genealogically a Jew. The Hamas animals that went and committed these barbaric, horrific acts are did not care whether the people at that music festival believed in any of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emuna or believed in God at all. Many of them didn't. And they died al Kiddush Hashem, not even knowing what the words Kiddush Hashem meant. So the Psak Halach that Rav Asher Weiss said is that you're allowed to say no. So Yitzhak Berkowitz pointed out, but how sad that is, that the words "Are you a Jew?" don't mean anything about Emuna. They don't mean anything about what you believe. It's an interesting ha'ara. We have to identify Judaism with the beliefs of a Jew, and we're seeing it among the Chayalim, people who were raised with nothing, and all they want is tzitzis and tefillin, and there's this need to feel connected. And one final point, and I know my time is up, and that is part of connecting to Judaism and part of connecting to our mission is connecting with the Jewish people. Is if there's a public opportunity where there's a Mila Hashem Elai moment where Klal Yisrael says, do you stand up for the Jewish people? Are you here for the Jewish people? Then it's our duty and it's our responsibility to say, yes, I stand up for the Jewish people. I am with the Jewish people. And that's what we saw. Baruch Hashem, 300,000 people do this week, earlier this week in Washington. Needless to say, let's just leave it at that. A person has to stand up and say that I am with the Jewish people. And it's fairly common sense that a person should feel that way, that they belong. If Klal Yisrael is together on something, that they belong with that group of people. Okay, I wish you all a good Shabbos. We should see Yeshua's and Chamos very, very soon for all of Klal Yisrael.
Shabbos, thank you.